Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com, and we're talking about the police. You were talking about the bill that was passed under the Clinton administration, and do you suppose that, they were just ramping up for 9/11?
Well, I really don't know. I mean, it's quite possible. I mean, because when we really look at all of these things and how they have come to pass, I mean, it really started back in the late 1980s, and we'll go through that. And it's just, it doesn't seem like a mere coincidence. I mean, I think these things have been scientifically created, not only to create this large federal police force against the people, but also a lot of indoctrination and behavioral modification has gone into this for the people to accept it. That's what's the most disturbing thing. But well, maybe I'm a little ahead of myself there. As far as this crime bill that was passed in 1994 under the Clinton administration, just so happens that the co-sponsor was Joe Biden, who's Obama's vice president. And he's one of the most hawkish in terms of law enforcement than anybody in Washington, D.C. But this really came the point, 1994, when police departments started turning into arms of the federal government. Police agencies throughout the country are becoming more generic. For example, prior to 1994, it was pretty much unheard of for a police chief or a police commissioner to make a lateral transfer from one state to the next. And the reason for this is because each state had unique laws, they had unique styles of policing, but those days are gone. I mean, take LAPD, for instance. I mean, they had a steadfast tradition for, decades of promoting police chiefs from within their own department. But then, in 2001, believe it or not, 2001, that terrible date, they hired William Bratton, a former New York City police commissioner. And that would have been an absurd choice prior to 1994. We also see it in Austin, Texas, which is near where RBN is broadcasting out of. Their chief is Art Acevedo, but he's not from Texas. I mean, his previous job was with the California Highway Patrol. So we see that these state lines are starting to disappear, and we're becoming one giant state ruled over by the federal government.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just amazing. And the feds now are starting to... well, they have for many years, but particularly after the events that unfolded on September 11, 2001, they've been equipping police agencies with this military-grade combat-ready gear, ostensibly for the purpose of keeping the streets safe from terrorism. But since 2001, thousands of communities across the nation have taken advantage of more than $35 billion in federal grants. And they're using this money to equip their police and their sheriff's departments with assault rifles, armored vehicles, bomb-dismantling robots, all sorts of exotic weaponry and toys.
And who's making all the money on this?
Oh, well, a lot of defense contractors are making money on this. We'll get into that. For instance, what was it, Northrop?
Northrop, right. Mm-hmm.
And what's the other organization?
There's about 10 that are usually used by the federal government, and if you look at the figures that the government pays them each year, it is absolutely unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, first they go in and they destroy a country militarily, and then they go in and allegedly build it back up, but most of the time they don't build it back up. They might as well just turn the money over to the contractors, and there you go.
Yeah, well, like I said, Northrop Grumman, they sold a lot of bomb dismantling robots to local police.
Yeah,
and Raytheon, that's another one. That's the one that I was trying to think of. They get into the intelligence side of things, selling things like information sharing tools and radio equipment.
Right. So. Interesting. All righty, we do have to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Heart Sleep-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Welcome back. Our guest is Keith Johnson. And during the break, I looked up some of the totals of what these people are making. Lockheed Martin was paid $17,344,113,000 just in 2011. And they've got about 100 at this WashingtonTechnology.com. And they have 100 of the top contractors. And when you consider that it's the federal government that is hiring, that is making these contracts, creating these contracts, and then you realize that the federal government is composed of, you know, the Congress, and then you realize that the Congress then has foreknowledge of exactly where to invest their funds, and they certainly wouldn't be making as much money if the governments were actually concentrating on things that would be beneficial for the citizens of this country, like infrastructure, roads, and that kind of thing. They wouldn't make near the money that they make in warfare and in, you know, outfitting the police, correct?
And all this money's coming from us. We're funding our own destruction.
Right.
You know? It's just amazing. I mean, in 2000, I mean, we were talking about how these communities are getting, you know, have gained access to $34 billion in federal grants. In 2011 alone, $2 billion were awarded from the Department of Homeland Security, which is where these things come from, with $500 million more, which was allocated to some of these existing programs. And these federal grants are just one way that police are using to gain access to these battlefield-grade weaponry, you know, helicopters, armored vehicles, bomb detection robots, grenade launchers, M16 assault rifles. In last year, fiscal year 2011, the Department of Defense literally gave away a record total of more than $500 million worth of military surplus to law enforcement agencies, local law enforcement agencies, through this program, 1033 program, which was passed by Congress in 1997 and created to provide law enforcement with tools to allegedly fight drugs and terrorism. But since then, more than 17,000 agencies have taken in $2.6 billion worth of equipment for all, for practically for free, paying just for the cost of delivery. And that trend is showing no signs of slowing. In fiscal year 2012, orders have gone up 400% over the same period last year. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why is the government so gracious in supplying these departments with these expensive toys? It's certainly not the perpetual threat of terrorism. That can't be a reasonable justification. I note in my article that I wrote about this that the National Safety Council notes that you're 8 times more likely to be killed by a police officer than by a terrorist.
Exactly, yeah, I saw that.
And this epidemic of crime, that can't be blamed either. Since the 1990s, violent crime has been on the decline. It's actually halved between 1991 and today. It went down from like almost 800 to just about 400, a little over 400 per 100,000 people. And the same can be said for those police officers who were killed in the line of duty. The number of deaths, gun-related deaths of police officers, peaked in 1980 at about 104 per 100,000 people, compared to 50 per 100,000 in 2010.
Amazing.
So, you know, like I said, the reason that these things are being given is, well, twofold. First, it makes police chiefs and sheriffs more accountable to the federal government and then to their own states and local communities. And, you know, now that we have this new National Defense Authorization Act, it's very likely that they're going to be called upon to return that favor by integrating with federal troops who might be allowed to patrol on, you know, on the streets pursuant to the passage of this bill. And secondly, like we discussed, it's a convenient way of enriching these big federal defense contractors. And
yes,
it's not
indeed.
The defense giants who have a monopoly on this market. There's smaller companies, too, who are also cashing in. As a matter of fact, they recently had a International Association of Chiefs of Police conference in Chicago, and they had more than 800 exhibitors with people from, you know, familiar names like Colt Manufacturing, which comes, you know, has the Colt 45, Oshkosh Corporation, Black Hawk Industries, and they all had booths set up, you know, to hawk their wares and provide assistance on how they can purchase these things through federal assistance, Homeland Security grants.
Wow, now this was a regular trade show?
Well, it was for the International Association of Chiefs of Police. It was a conference.
Okay.
So it wasn't really even a, you know, held for the reason, like a boat show or something where they're selling it. It was just, you know.
Right.
But it turned out to be that way with, you know, almost 1,000 different exhibitors setting up their booths, and these cops walk through there and they just, boy, I can get that, and I get that helicopter and that grenade launcher over there. That's going to be fantastic. My boys will really love me now, you know.
Wow.
And they get it for virtually free. And
when you consider the violence crime in each community, or the violent crime in each community, it just doesn't exist. So,
yeah,
my goodness, unless they create it.
Yeah, we're getting SWAT teams appearing in little villages, you know, places with populations of about 6,000 or 7,000 people in retirement communities in South Florida, where all you've got is mobile homes and, you know, a brick lawn or you know, those weird colored rock lawns, you know, and people driving around in golf carts. You know, they have a police
right.
department in these communities with SWAT teams. And of course, there's no terrorism, there's no violent crime that goes on, so they use them for everything. You know, they gear up, they get like 10, 20 people, they get in these task force, you know, with you know, police department, the sheriff's department, neighboring agencies, and they go in to get this 18-year-old drug dealer who's sleeping in his bed with his girlfriend at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're just, you know, they're hopped up on adrenaline, and they, you know, they received all this training, they get all these expensive toys, and they want to use them.
Sure. And then you have six police cars to arrest one guy that's speeding.
Yeah, exactly. Long gone are the days where, you know, a cop pulls somebody over, he's by himself, you know. They call backup for everything. I mean, sometimes they won't even get out of their car until, you know, two or three other cars arrive.
Right.
Meanwhile,
now, you know, when people want to start a war in, you know, anywhere, they create an incident, some sort of violent incident. Somebody gets shot, you know, they shoot somebody, and then all of a sudden you have a war going on. Do you suppose that some of this violence that has been created in the last 10 years, or some of the violence that has occurred, do you think that some of it has been created?
You mean like a false flag kind of thing?
Sure.
Like a mini false flag?
Sure.
I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, it's possible. You know, it's possible. I mean, we know that the Southern Poverty Law Center was involved in the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, they had their operatives deeply entrenched in that. They knew in advance that it was going to happen. You know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
and this whole war on drugs thing, I mean, the country really wanted to get rid of drugs, they would have a long time ago, when in fact the government and some people who have served in the government have actually been the ones that have brought the stuff in. And, I mean, look at what happened after Vietnam, when the bodies were shipped back from Vietnam. A lot of those caskets were filled with drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, there's virtually no militia organization or separatist group or Christian identity organization that isn't infiltrated by the federal government in one form or the other, who has informants in there. You know, and they get in there and they start stirring up trouble and saying, hey, you know, what do you think would happen? You know, the police are, you know, gearing up and they're going to attack us. What we need to, you know, kind of have a scenario of what would happen if, you know, the police, if we came under police attack. And so they turn this whole thing, they get people talking about it, and then it's taken out of context, and then they do a federal raid and say that these people were planning on killing cops when it was the federal informant who was in there instigating the problem from the very beginning.
Right. Yes.
So I would say yes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this violence or so-called violence is a creation of these federal informants who go in there and stir up trouble.
And then you have to respond, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and they have to show some justification for their existence.
Sure.
So every so often we hear about these things, like the Hutari militia in one of those states up north. Can't remember which one exactly, but that turned out to be a federal operation, too.
Sure.
And, but, yeah, and, you know, getting back to this thing about the police departments being manned with all this exotic weaponry, there's also an effort by the unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV, you know, those drones that drive through Afghanistan and Yemen and all sorts
right.
of places killing people. Well, they're trying to break into the local law enforcement scene. There's one particular company called General Atomics in their 2011 report. They're the ones who manufacture these Predator drones, and they made it clear that their future growth depends on pursuing new markets beyond the military. And meanwhile, they spent in excess of about $2 million last year lobbying Congress on behalf of these defense appropriation bills and larger Homeland Security budgets. So we're going to start
right.
to see more of that happening, getting their hands on these things. And, you know, so we see American manufacturing production is at an all-time low, but the defense industry, it's booming, you know. According to this Homeland Security Research Corporation, quote, the Homeland Security market for state and local agencies is projected to reach $19.2 billion by 2014, up from $15.8 billion in fiscal 2009.
Right. So they're building swords instead of plowshares. That would actually benefit the country.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, we do have to take a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes, and we'll take a call when we come back.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you read the news? Heart disease still the most likely reason you'll die, but people are still not afraid enough. Over 70 million Americans live every day with some form of heart disease, and we accept it as okay. Well, I don't think it's okay, and I'm here to tell you that Extendovite doesn't think it's okay either. Just a few simple herbs can change the way we think about heart disease. Don't just accept it, do something about it. Live a longer, healthier life. Take Extendovite every day. Extend your life with Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
Our guest today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com. He is a writer for the American Free Press, which I hope that you will support. And speaking of support, many in the current economy are having a very, very difficult time making ends meet. People are losing their homes. They're having a difficult, difficult time. And that also includes RBN. RBN is no different. Consequently, we are having a pledge drive. So I hope that you will consider pledging whatever you can to help keep this program and others on the air. And I know that RBN would be very, very grateful for any help that you could render at this time. All righty, let's take... Keith, did you want to make a concluding remark before we take a call?
No, that was pretty much it for that.
Okay. Well, why don't we take Sherry in Kansas? Sherry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Hi, Keith. Keith,
hello.
I enjoy your articles in AFP.
Thank you.
You know, you were talking about cops and old Ralph Winterer up in Alaska, and he said this isn't just happening in Alaska, but a lot of times if you get shot by a cop, the excuse they'll use is, I was in fear for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he will not get out of a car anymore, and he will just tell them, you know, I'm in fear for my life.
Right.
You know, but, you know, in talking about drones, I don't know if either of you recall this series. I thought it was a pretty good show, and I think they discontinued it because it was, they didn't want the information getting out. But remember something called Dark Angel? Jessica Alba was in it. And the premise of the movie, or the series, was she was in a super soldier program.
Mm-hmm.
And the there was an EMP, and it really, you know, disrupted everything. The guys in the super soldier program, they escaped. Well, one thing that was they were using were these drones to patrol.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I think the series was only like two seasons, but I thought it was a pretty popular series, and I think they discontinued it because it was, you know, they didn't want all this stuff getting out. And the same thing with Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you ever watch that series?
I've heard of that too. And you know, a lot of people wonder, like, how can they put these programs out there? I mean, they're exposing their whole plan. And a lot of it is called predictive programming, where they're putting this stuff out so that you accept it as reality. So that when you know, it may be science fiction in the movie right now, but then when it manifests itself into real terms where you actually see these things flying through the air, you accept it. You've already seen it before. You're not as shocked. You're a little more callous to these things.
Right.
You know, it's just like, well, I was expecting that. You know. So.
Right.
All right, that's all I had. Thanks, Deanna.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. All righty, let's take Leslie in Texas. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to comment that when these police stations take these Army surplus, do they consider that it could be contaminated with depleted uranium?
Well, that's a good question.
You know, it seems like they only do things when it's sinister on several levels, so I thought that might be something to check out if these police are getting sick after they get their hands on these.
Yeah, I don't know much about depleted uranium, if it can, you know, contaminate a metal surface or something like that, but, you know.
I only got the idea because John Miller had a guest on this morning, and he was talking about how people like to buy Army surplus, but there's, like, depleted uranium on just about everything they use.
Yeah, I could see.
You don't know where it's been.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that with clothing especially, you know.
I didn't hear the whole show, so I don't know how he responded. He was an expert, and I'm kind of listening in and out of my car, so I just get bits and pieces of everything. So I'm kind of in the dark, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Well,
that's
you.
Very interesting.
That might be a good topic for a future article. I don't know if anybody's covered that, but yeah. That
okay.
Does, thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. We were talking about, what were we talking about?
Well, we were finishing up pretty much on the on these police departments and sheriff's departments getting their hands on this military surplus and, you know, billions of dollars worth of grants so that they can, you know, equip their officers with this military-grade hardware. Pretty much finished up on that. But getting back to this epidemic of police violence that we see, I mean, we know it's gotten worse due to the training that's been imported from Israel, but there's other factors that go into this as well. I mean, first, we have, police officers have access to more exotic weapons. I mean, they call them non-lethal, but we've seen that these tasers, for instance, have taken many lives, and police just use them liberally because they're told, it's non-lethal and it's a way of subduing a suspect without having to pull your gun out or your baton or anything like that. So they're using them more and more and more. And
numerous times on the same suspect. I mean, I've seen
them. And they do this because there's rarely any repercussions, even when it results in death. And one of the reasons for this is because the taser manufacturers have a tenacious legal team that battles all these courtroom challenges. So
amazing.
Yeah, they don't want a precedent-setting law that says, well, we can't use these anymore. So they really...
All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Keith Johnson, and his website is revoltoftheplebs.wordpress.com. And one of our listeners, Don, mentioned that the weather satellite data is filtered through Raytheon before your local meteorologist or weather reporter sees it, which I thought was rather interesting.
They seem to be involved in all sorts of chicanery, don't they?
Yes. Amazing. Now, how long were you a policeman?
Well, I was involved in police work a total of 7 years. I was a cadet, a dispatcher, and then a police officer. And I left on my own to become a polygraph examiner. I went to polygraph school and got involved in private industry and learned quite a few things there. I don't practice, I don't use the polygraph anymore. It's just become a moral conviction of mine not to do that. So,
now, is it true that people can beat the polygraph test if they're practiced
liars?
Oh, yeah,
I can tell you how.
Really?
Yeah. It's, what they do is they ask you a series of questions and they lead you into lying to a control question. So, in other words, let's say, for instance, something was stolen from a check cashing place. $10,000 was stolen. You're going to exhibit more signs of stress to a question related to the theft of that $10,000 if you're a guilty party. However, if you're not a guilty party, you will exhibit more stressful, you will exhibit more stress to a control question. And a control question is something I want you to lie to. For instance, I'll work up and I'll say, well, prior to this $10,000 theft, did you ever steal anything? You did, you're not a thief. You didn't steal anything, did you? And you want them to lie. You want them to feel guilty and go, oh, no, I didn't. Or if they do say something like, well, I stole a candy bar as a kid, and you kind of give them a dirty look like, oh, so you have stolen in the past. Oh, you're not going to tell them you've stolen more things, have you? So you see, if the person is not guilty, they're going to, of stealing that $10,000, they're going to be more concerned about lying about that control question that I just set you up for. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of deception. And the thing to do is, if you are guilty, what you want to do is, when you hear those control questions, if you are guilty of taking that $10,000, you want to send like a shiver through your body, an electric shiver, you know, like an electric pulse. And one way of doing that is kind of like squeezing your butt cheeks together or something like that, you know.
Okay.
It's creating that so that your galvanic skin response, which is perspiration, and your cardio goes up, and your breathing becomes more erratic. So it's a little bit more involved, I guess, to teach you how to do it. But you can easily pass a polygraph test if you know how to do it, if you know what's coming.
But I think your breathing patterns, basically, if you want to relax, you just take some really nice deep breaths and let your body relax. And, you can change your blood pressure, your pulse rate, all kinds of things
by simply
your breathing patterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, if you knew that you stole that $10,000 and you hear that question, you want to kind of breathe normally, breathe in and out as normal as possible. Well, when you get to that control question, you might want to hold your breath a little bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
And create those conditions that make it look like you're trying to be deceptive. So,
Interesting. All righty, we do have a caller. Let's take Chris in Las Vegas. Chris, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Deanna and Ron. I thought I'd call
it's
in.
It's Keith.
Keith, my
Ron.
Apologies. I noticed that you professed that you were also a former law enforcement officer, like myself, in multiple jurisdictions. And in view of your statements about the polygraph, it's important for people to understand that Title 18-1001, the Lying to Federal Agents Act, is a particularly liberally constructed act with the specificity of including just about anything, whether you lie knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, or even if you didn't know you were lying, you can be construed as lying and therefore guilty. It's the same charge they put Sheikh Khalif Muhammad and Martha Stewart in jail for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And secondly, to the point you were speaking to earlier about the perversions of law enforcement to criminality, they have especially precipitated a condition via the NDA and the Kill a Patriot Act, whereby they provide explicit immunity and eliminate the obligation to bring forth any evidence whatsoever or circumstances that constitute the crime of terrorists that they assert us all to be,
mm-hmm.
and obfuscate you from any ability to see the evidence that they purportedly have or don't have against you, thereby enabling you from providing any substantive defense because there's nothing to defend against. It's a mere frivolous assertion used with the scheme of immunity of providing any elements of law, fact, or truth to support the arrest under the pretense of national security considerations.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nightmare. It's a complete nightmare and goes completely contrary to anything that we've held as our cherished rights, constitutional rights. I mean, it's just amazing to due process and I mean that the American people put up with this. It's just another indication that we have been scientifically behavior modification has been perpetrated against us, so that it has changed our way of thinking, and we have different priorities and different things that we hold or cherish as Americans.
I believe it's especially more precisely devised maliciously and contumaciously to promote, for Frederick Bastiat's observations in the law, the perverse nature of man, and inspire these agents, actors of government under colors of law and law enforcement, perhaps private and corporate entities, most likely, to aspire to higher levels of criminality, theft, prosecution, and other felonious behaviors under the schemes and devices of law, and create a more chaotic nature so that the people will rise up and try to correct it by whatever means they can come up with to effectively refute it. But it's basically an indefensible premise, and therefore your only premise is that you've got to seek other means to find resolution to the false accusations that are leveled maliciously to destroy you.
Yep.
So you're saying that the government is provoking us to respond, and then when we do, they'll just use all this gun power towards us. Is that what you're saying?
Problem, cause, solution, Hegelian dialectic.
Right.
Well, what I see this as primarily is now that they have declared the whole world to be a battlefield, that, the thing that I would compare it to most is the incarceration, the concentration camps of Japanese and other people here in the United States. They consider us perhaps threats to the United States government, so they can round us up and put us in these FEMA camps. Perhaps not something quite as brutal as a federal penitentiary, but some place that'll keep us out of the way. I really see it as.
Absolutely concur. I believe they may fall victim to the circumstance that they've created unbeknownst to them by the doctrine of unintended circumstances, whereby they've reinvoked or reinvented the term for the Alien Sedition Act, which is effectually what the NDAA is, where we're all considered to be terrorists, and by the conundrum of law, where they have presumed the Emergency War Powers Act to predicate the emergency nature demand for the doctrine of necessity to precipitate war, and the doctrine of necessity dictates that by the doctrine of war that you are predisposed to, their first rule is there is no law, therefore there is chaos, a lawless society, therefore all become outlaws under the doctrine of necessity by survival.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, very interesting thoughts. I still keep thinking back to these fusion centers and what they're using those for. I mean, I think, there's a map online that shows where all these are, and it also gives you contact information. And I just have half a notion. I think there are like 84 of them, or six, 84. And they have six regional directors, and there's a network of fusion centers. And there's, a lot of them on the East Coast, and I'm wondering, okay, what the heck are these used for? What are they doing? What are they gathering? And I feel like calling one here in my state and saying, what are you doing? Would you like to come on my program and talk about what you're doing?
Well, I perceive that the fusion centers are actually part of the cloud security network of the monitoring of all forms of communication, communiques, information, data, transfused, and an introspectively intelligence-motivated examination to find anything that they can reasonably conclude, color, or pretend is ground, substance, or a reason to come out and arrest someone for whatever pretensive cause they wish to concoct.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting.
Very knowledgeable fellow there.
Yes. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate your call. Let's take Keith in Indiana. Keith, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to call in real quick. There's a man who's got an excellent website about the polygraph. It's called antipolygraph.org. He's got a free his book on there is just wonderful. Everybody should read it. The Lie Behind the Lie Detector. You can download it for free. Yeah, I mean, it is 100% just total myth and, you know, false science, everything else behind it. Nobody should ever take one under any circumstances, but this can arm you with a good reason not to take one. You can get the facts. He's got other books on there you can download for free, like the Federal Psychophysiological Detection of Deception Examiner's Handbook, and just a real good website.
Yeah, I see that. Very interesting.
I definitely would advise people against taking the polygraph unless, you know, they go in armed with knowledge.
You're spreading and everything else, so this really has no correlation to whether you're lying or not anyway. And some of these got on the first page there, some of the most famous spies like Griebel and Coker and Pavosky, Larry Wutai Chin, and several others, they all passed the polygraph, too.
Yeah, and you're not considered a good polygraph examiner just based upon running tests and coming to conclusions saying, well, yes, he's deceptive or he's not. No. You're a good polygraph examiner if you get a confession, and that's what it is. You're conning these people. You're conning these people out of the truth. You're telling them, listen, it's better that you tell me right now rather than me take these charts into your employer and show them that you're lying. Do you want to be known as a liar, or would you rather just come clean and then the repercussions won't be so bad? You know, that's a common thing that polygraph examiners do.
Right. And the other, like so much else, it's based on false science from the start anyway. So, I mean, but I guess one last add to National Defense Authorization Act. I think they're looking to accelerate.
You're cutting out, Keith.
Oh, I don't know why that would be, but I just said that I think with the NDAA Act that they passed, they're looking to accelerate violence against police. People are going to be afraid to be arrested for anything anymore.
Yeah, that's the message I hope police aren't getting is that, you know, we're all arming ourselves to confront, you know, to confront this thing. But, you know, they've really put police in a horrible position because there are people out there who just, you know, they will assume that they're on some government list and that now that this thing has passed, a police officer pulls them over. They're going to say, hey, listen, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be gone down the memory hole. They're going to stick me in some hole, and I'm going to rot there forever, so I might as well shoot it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't think it'll escalate too much in the next year, maybe next couple of years. I think they're looking to push a huge confrontation here because, at some point in the near future, if you get arrested, you don't know you'll ever get out.
Yeah.
Right. Now, getting back to this polygraph issue, in certain movies and whatnot, if somebody refuses to take a polygraph test, that kind of implies that they're guilty and they just don't want to get caught. And so is that kind of mentality deliberate so that people will take a polygraph test if they are arrested for some crime?
Well, you see, it can't be used in court unless both attorneys agree that the evidence can be, submitted. In other words, if you're a defense attorney who says, no, I don't want it submitted, then it can't be. So as far as a legal setting, you know, they don't have, you know, they can't force you to do it. They might say that they can force you to do it. But refusing it, you know, I think there's quite a few people out there who just don't believe in the reliability of the polygraph. So if you refuse to do it based on that ground and say, no, that thing's unreliable. It's not even admissible in court. I don't want to take it. That's the best route to go.
Okay.
But your employer can't force you to do it. There's so many restrictions on, I mean, back when I first started doing it, we were doing pre-employment polygraph exams. I mean, just for a job at a liquor store, they'd send a guy in, and we do pre-employment. You can't do that anymore. You have to go jump through hoops to do polygraph today. It has to be on a specific issue and so many regulations, but the only the people who aren't subjected to these regulations is the federal government or the government itself. You know, I mean, they can give a polygraph to anybody, you know, whenever they want.
Sure. But, which gets back to something that Keith said, the other Keith, is that You know, the policemen are really on the front lines, and if you look at Washington, who never have to basically tell the truth to anybody, mm-hmm. they're the guys that are the culprits.
Yeah, they are.
They are the culprits, and they've put all of these people who are just trying to do a job, you know, get the paycheck, take care of their family, they've put them out on the line.
Yeah.
And yet it's Washington that is creating all these laws and really making a lot of people very angry.
Yeah. That's why I want to stress, you know, that we're making a big mistake in this movement when we allow people to make derogatory comments about the police, or when we have headlines on or titles on video clips that says scumbag cop, you know, knocks kids, right. you know, off his skateboard, you know, things like that, provocative titles. We don't need that. We need to reach out to the police and tell them we're not your enemy. We are not your enemy. The right. enemy is our common enemy.
Right. All righty, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Our bodies have different needs from person to person. Some need more of this, some more of that. But what is consistently the same about everyone is that we all need multiple vitamins and nutrients every day. But how to decide what's best? So many products out on the market make claims of being the best. Well, they can't all be the best. How can you know? Read and compare. Daniel Chapter 1's Endo 24 is packed full of all the vitamins, nutrients, protein, and carbs you need. Compared to Ensure or SlimFast, Endo 24 blows them out of the water completely. Get your full day supply of nutrients in Endo 24. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. And use the promo code 100A for a discount. That's promo code 100A. Call the order center and get your Endo 24, the full multivitamin, multinutrient meal replacement.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Back. Our guest has been Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com. And you know, in my own mind, I don't think the average person is going to go out and commit a vicious crime against others. And I think that there's usually a lot of things that are involved, a lot of variables involved. And I think that an economic situation that we currently have, I think you're going to see more crimes out of desperation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
because people simply don't have the money to purchase things, so they might be inclined to steal things. And so I look again to the criminals in Washington who have kind of set the country up to fail in a number of ways.
Oh, yeah. You know, and these politicians in Washington, D.C. aren't the ones who are suiting up and going out to enforce these laws.
Nor are they going to Afghanistan or Iraq, or and they won't be going to Iran, and they certainly won't be sending their children there.
Right. I mean, most of these soft-handed old men in these suits, the ones that speak up war, I mean, that talk up war so much, have never been in a fight in their life.
Exactly.
You know, they've never put on a uniform. You know, and they never would. And they, and most of them, like Newt Gingrich or John Bolton, these are draft dodgers, basically, you know, who skipped out on service. I mean, Newt Gingrich makes me just want to vomit.
Sick.
He's one of the most repulsive human beings on the face of the planet.
Exactly.
I mean, in every way. And he's another one of these people who skipped out on military service, you know.
Right. We have a caller. Let's real quick take Johnny in New York. Johnny, we have about a minute.
Okay, yeah. I hear you talking about the District of Criminals. You know, they're really coconuts in Congress. That's what we have, pencil-neck bureaucrats. You know, they're sending our boys off into aimless wars that is just meant to create debt for the bankers so they can be enriched themselves.
Right.
And I pray to God that the evangelical jellyfish, as Robbie Noel puts them, wakes up and to see that Israel is nothing but an apostate nation. They are not doing. They are not God's chosen people. The people are God's chosen people. The people that follow God's laws and obey His laws. And you know, I mean, even Senator William Fulbright said back many years ago that the Israeli lobby controls the policy in the Senate and the Congress.
Very good. Thank you, Johnny, for calling in. Your comments, Keith.
No, I totally agree. I can't really add anything to that.
Yeah, that's a very good summation of the problem, and that certainly when you consider the things that have happened in this country from 1948 forward, it's gone downhill, certainly after the Second World War, which basically cemented the act of putting that country on the map.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We didn't have any enemies prior to 1948. But since the creation of the State of Israel, we've had plenty of enemies now, supposedly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Gentlemen, we have run out of time. Thank you, callers, for calling in. And thank you so much, Keith, for being on the program.
I had a great time.
So have I. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.